It's Saturday morning, and it's 10 o'clock, and this can only be the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this very special Saturday that happens about once a year. This is the first show of year number 11, and I remind everybody that throughout the 10 years that we've done this so far, the only significant change really doesn't impact the show very much, but we're now brought to you by Strivus Wealth Partners, which is basically Adam and his new partner, Joey. So, like I said, nothing really changes except that's how you find us, and that's who you'll be doing business with when you come to see us.
Yeah, two reasons for that, yep. The name change, I mean. One was that with myself and a new partner, Van Wee Financial didn't make as much sense as it used to when it was my dad and I. And then two, we thought about using the last name of my new partner. Unfortunately, his last name is actually Loss. And we didn't feel like using the word loss in the name of a financial company was the best idea. So hence the new name. And so that's how we came to that decision.
Logic prevails sometimes.
Yeah.
That's truly funny. Anyway, for all the regulars, some of you I know have been around the entire time, and I got to welcome you and say, don't stop listening. We've got 10 down. As far as I'm concerned, we've got 10 to go. So we appreciate your support solidly throughout the years. And if you're new to this show, then try to stick around for the whole hour, because we'll promise you little in life, but we will promise you for sure that you will learn something if you pay attention. Whether or not it'll be useful to you, you can't know enough, just general things. Just got a note from a longtime listener that said, who can talk that fast in your disclaimer?
I did. I had our producer speed it up because last week it was so slow and it took up a minute of our airtime. So I wanted to get through it a little bit quicker. I hope that didn't throw anyone off.
You don't really learn anything. That's just a requirement of a highly regulated industry.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. This is just a radio show. This is not individual financial advice.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as I said, this is my one time a year when I get to tell a story. And we'll get to the market wrap after the story, or I don't know how long this version of it will be. But it was basically 10 years ago. And we had put the deal together to start this show, and we weren't even officially in business yet, but we had an office and had people and things like that. We just couldn't charge anybody any money for anything, and we could do a radio show. So we started dealing with WBOB earlier on, late in the year before, and told them what we were interested in, and they asked what time slot we'd prefer. And I said, I really want to try to hold out for 10 o'clock because, as most of you know, I used to be on a different show on a different station that started at 10 o'clock. And I wanted to be directly competitive. I figure it would make everybody better. Competition does that. And lo and behold, it wasn't long, and we got a phone call from the station saying, you're never going to guess what happened. 10 o'clock Saturday just got open. And we said, well, that's great. And we weren't really geared up to starting it. I think that happened over the Christmas break, maybe. We weren't really geared up to do the January. So we said, let's start the thing on February 1st. So that was agreed upon. So on the first Saturday of that year, I hopped in the car, got on Butler as usual, was coming out here with minutes to spare. And my phone rang on the hands-free. It was Adam, I could tell by the number. And because I had hands-free, I was able to answer it. And he said, Dad, you're not going to believe what just happened. And I said, okay, what might that be? He said, the entire neighborhood lost power. And the station does have backup power, but it doesn't last all that long. And he nearly got caught in the elevator. And to this day, you generally don't see him in an elevator.
Oh, no. I take the stairs here anyway.
Mm-hmm. I take the I do a non-market thing. I take the elevator up and the stairs down.
Mm-hmm.
More on that later. Anyway, I got here, and Angela was doing the show back then with Howard, and we walked in, and of course they weren't doing anything because there was no computer, there was no telephone, there was no anything. So we got to spend quite a while just sitting around talking with them, getting to know them, which was really nice since they were strangers to us, but they were preceding us on air. And we had a really nice time until about 10-2 or 8-2 or something like that. And we had been told by JEA that the power would come on about 11:30. So we're just kind of sitting around biding time, waiting for the 11 o'clock show to come in, when all of a sudden the lights come on. And we looked at each other, and none of us had our notes out. We didn't have our headphones on, didn't plan any of this. And little by little, everything lit up, including the telephone lines and the computer. And we knew we had a lot of people that we had told about this that were sitting out there saying, "What show?" And I don't hear no stinking show. And sure enough, there were some people who were texting us and so on. But we sort of bobbled around a little bit for the last 5 or 6, 7 minutes, whatever it was, and then promised everybody that this was a very rare occurrence, which it was. But Comcast, the entire area, Comcast, and of course, we're using Comcast Internet and Comcast Telephone, so we were totally dependent on them, as was everybody else around here. And it, anyway, we got it on air and promised everybody we'd be back. And the next week, everything was fine. We got on at 10 o'clock, and that started a series. What number show is this now?
I believe it was 516.
Yeah, and there have been very, very few weeks. In fact, most years, we didn't miss any. Been a couple that were storm-related. We got evacuated. The city got evacuated 2 times in those 10 years, and we had to leave, and there was no show. And then there were, I think, 6 other days when holidays interfered with the ability to do the show. So we have done almost every show live. I'm so close it would just be a rounding error. And that is our intent, to keep doing that. And you will be hearing Joey once in a while. He's not going to join the show every week, but he wants to be familiar enough to know what he's doing, and we want him to be familiar enough to know what he's doing. And he knows things that we don't know. We know things that he doesn't know, so it's good to have some variety in it.
He also has a separate podcast that's part of the company as well. It's called Wealth Unplugged. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or any Spotify, any of the hosts you know or use.
And if you ask us what's in a name, we'll say, in this case, nothing.
Nope.
I remember he did the show a while back with me, and I asked him as part of that thing. I hadn't but barely met him. "What's your last name?" And he said, "Loss." I said, "You want to spell that?" He said, "Yeah, uh-huh, just like it sounds." And it was a good laugh. Okay, we'll get into the real show in just a few seconds. Got to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual this week, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. And remember, that's both residential and commercial. He handles the security for my home, the office, and all that. And they're very reliable, very professional, and very neat, which I really appreciate. So anyway, got several things going on right now. It's been quite a week, as everybody knows. But I got to pick one here. How about this one? On Monday this week, everybody probably remembers, Adam will be talking about the Monday in just a minute, in the market wrap, because it was a doozy. The market, the S&P 500 index, was down over 1% that day. What percentage of the 500 stocks in the index closed up that day?
Good
Pretty
question.
Simple question.
Yeah, good question.
Okay. Yeah. All right, in the market this week, starting with Monday.
It was a crazy week. The futures just crashed on Monday morning, and I couldn't figure out. I rolled out of bed, and I pull them up just like I normally do. And it's like, what is going on? Not, like, nothing happened this weekend that would cause this. Well, a Chinese AI model called DeepSeek, which was released in December. It's almost February at that point. And it was developed apparently for a lot less money than current large language AI models. But the thing is, that was a trend that was already developing. You know that the price of new technology is always really, really high, and then it starts to come down over time. And we were already seeing that happen. And the Chinese model, whether it's good or bad, I have no idea how useful this model is, or if it works, or if it censors you or sells your information to the Communist Party or whatever it does. But the fact is, prices were already coming down on these things, and they're probably going to come down really fast, because they're the best and brightest people in the world are currently working on this exact problem, and they're throwing tons of money at it. So it's not surprising to see this come down. But that is what caused NVIDIA to lose $600 billion in market cap in a single day, the largest ever loss of market cap for a single stock on a single day.
We were talking about this phenomenon just the other day. I can't remember who it was with, but I remember the first flat screen TV I ever saw, and it was thin, meaning it was only about 2 inches thick, which is,
yeah, maybe even a little thicker than that.
Yeah, and it weighed a lot.
Oh, they were so heavy.
But it was pretty cool, because we didn't have those before. And it was $15,000.
Yep.
Now, today, it was a 32-inch, I think.
Yep.
You want to go pick up a 32-inch at Best Buy or something like that, you pull it off the shelf with one hand, set it in your cart, walk out, it'd be, what, $89 maybe?
Yeah. And that's it. That technology cycle took a lot longer than this one will, because it just wasn't, well, technology wasn't as advanced. And also, I don't think it had the wide-ranging implications throughout the business world that this AI development will eventually.
The volume's going to really grow on this stuff. Oh, yeah. By the way, the quality is, the picture quality and so on, far better today.
Yeah. Well, I don't even, could you spend $15,000 on a TV? I'm sure there's one big enough that it would cost
that. You could probably spend $15,000 on a truckload of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Big ones.
No doubt. Back to NVIDIA, it did find support at its 200-day moving average. That was good news that it didn't crash right through that. I think personally it seems way overblown, but we'll see what happens going forward.
Well, you want to talk about the veracity of their numbers that they threw out Monday morning? They did this for $5.6 million.
I mean, Chinese.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. And their economy is still growing at 9% a
exactly.
year. Yeah, okay. The one I saw, it wasn't a month ago, I saw an article where a Chinese economist who was also an advisor to the government raised his hand and said, wait a second, these growth numbers are not right. And he got disappeared.
Yeah.
So
why is it always 6%?
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. Yeah. So anyways, I don't believe anything about that whole scenario. And you probably shouldn't either. And then also, the other fact I keep going back to is, what company in their right mind is going to look at, like, should we implement Google Gemini or the cheap Chinese one? I don't know. Which way do we go? Like, come on. So it was a weird week for technology, and it kind of made sense if you dug into the numbers, but you saw companies that hadn't spent a lot on AI already, like Apple and Meta, get rewarded for that. Because now when they do decide to go that direction, they're going to be able to do it for a much cheaper cost, which is really what seemed like a bad strategy at first is somewhat coming clearer and becoming a pretty good strategy.
Now, there's a certain inevitability about this whole thing, and they were playing that very well, I thought, close to the vest.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially Apple.
It really seemed weird that Apple wasn't going in on it. I don't know if this was their exact strategy, or they didn't see the value, or what the decision-making process looked like. But at this point, it's starting to look pretty smart.
Now, do you remember many years ago when Bill Gates said, that internet thing?
Sure, sure.
I think that was in the 90s. And he managed to get on board, and they're doing okay.
Did all right with that, yeah. Monday was pretty ugly, but it really didn't do that much damage. For the week, the NASDAQ was off just 1.6%, while the S&P was off 1%. The Dow was actually up 0.3%, so the numbers overall were not that bad. This closed out a pretty good month of gains, with the NASDAQ up 1.5%, the S&P up 2.7%, and the Dow up 4.7%. So really, I would call January a success, and that is that's usually good news for later in the year, which I'll get to in a minute. The S&P returns have been nothing short of fantastic recently. Long-term treasuries, though, have been absolutely abysmal. The S&P is up 23.9% annualized over the last 2 years. And then if you go out to 5 years, that number goes to 15.3%. Over 10 years, that goes to 13.8%. And over 20 years, 10.7%, which is almost right on the long-term average, which that tends to be what happens in the market. Meanwhile, if you look at long-term treasuries, over the last 2 years, down 4%. Over the last 5 years, down 5.9%. Remember, these are annualized numbers. 5.9% down. That's terrible. Over the last 10 years, down 1.2% and up just 3.3% over the last 20 years. The returns over the last 5, 10, and 20-year periods are the worst on record ever.
Ever.
Never in history have long-term treasuries returned that poorly over those time periods. That's crazy. So when you say, that could never happen, this is an example of one of those things that you thought could never happen that has happened.
Yeah, what that usually means is I really hope it never happens.
Yeah, but here we are.
It's not over yet.
No, not necessarily. Although it feels like we're close to the end, but I don't know. Domestic stocks have gotten off to a pretty good start this year, but European markets have been even stronger. The Stoxx 600 is up more than 6% this year and has seen just recently saw a golden cross. Usually that's considered a bullish signal in a market, but actually for the Stoxx 600, it has not been a bullish signal. 1 year later, the average return after this happening is just 1.6%. That's not at all the case in the U.S. market. That is a European thing, apparently.
I got to think, though, that it had pulled back way further than normal this time.
Yeah, it was an abysmal fourth quarter for international stocks.
Yeah, I'm taking that one kind of a grain of salt. But, you know, we do our stock picking internationally by farming it out to a mutual fund manager. Mm-hmm. And he's not invested in that index. He's invested in certain companies. I'm hoping he can ride the wave of their return and produce some kind of alpha on top of the stocks index.
Hope so. If you look at the median return after a golden cross on the Stoxx 600, it's actually negative. So the average is slightly positive. The median is actually negative. Despite that, the index, when the index has a strong January, it also tends to have a strong year. So there is some hope there that that it could turn around. Buried in all the other news this week was the fact that there was a Fed meeting, and the policy approach they're taking is a wait-and-see policy, meaning no rate cuts in the short term. The market is still expecting some cuts by the end of the year, but they are definitely going to the Fed is definitely going to get a feel for what President Trump will actually do with regards to trade and economic policy before making any decisions. At least that's what they signaled in the Fed speech. They did mention that the labor market has stabilized in their view, which signals that initial rate cuts have worked in terms of stabilizing the labor market, because it was declining not at a fast rate, but at a moderate clip, I would say. The market is pricing in the chance of a March rate cut at less than 20% and a 50% chance of a cut in June. One piece of good news that I had mentioned or sort of alluded to earlier was that if January goes well, so does the rest of the year in the U.S. market as well as the European market. Years where January is negative, the rest of the year averages gains of just 3.5%. But years where January is positive, the rest of the year averages gains of 13%. So that's pretty good news.
Yeah. On top of what we've just been through, that would be real sweet.
Yeah. So lots of goings on this week, and there was tons to talk about, but it was interesting, exciting. I really didn't know where the numbers would be when I put them together this morning.
You know, it's funny, I didn't either. And sometimes it felt like it was just monumentally awful, and other days it felt like, well, we're going to roll. And then kind of came out in between.
And then Friday was both. It was a great day going into noon. And then all of a sudden I looked again at 3 o'clock and we're down 300 points.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the whole tariff scenario as the show goes on. It's something that is misunderstood with good reason.
Yep, that's true. I promised a very good client that I would do a millionaire story this week. So I've had one in reserve for quite a while, and we're going to actually do it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we got lots and lots to do today. I really believe that this tariff thing is one of the hottest topics around right now. And I got a little bit to say about that, of course. But generally speaking, we've also got some problems with inflation not coming down as fast as would like, and in fact, maybe even taking a final little bounce. So you put it all together, and what do you wind up with? Exactly what we predicted and exactly what we're seeing. The V word is back. And I don't mean ennui, I mean volatility. And man, is it out there. So get used to it because it's not going away. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255, where you can take a shot at our trivia question, which asks, on Monday, the S&P 500 index was down more than 1%. That's Adam's definition of a bad day, along with almost everybody else's. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the stocks in the S&P 500 actually closed up that day? Just take any, percentage has to be between 0 and 100. And I'll tell you, I'll narrow the gap a little bit. It's neither of those two.
Okay. That does help.
Yeah, it should help. Okay, back to some other little noteworthy things about the market. I mentioned, Adam, the earnings season is still young. 354 companies reporting so far, and the earning per share beat rate is 75%, quite good. The revenue beat rate is 67%, quite good. The only concerning thing for many people is that the forward guidance is lowered by 2 to 1, and what that's worth, you can take that.
We mentioned the tariffs earlier. I think this is indirectly related to that. Mm-hmm. I think this is related more to the uncertainty of how much change this administration is going to do with when it comes to trade and economic policies. And I think companies are being very, very cautious about giving any kind of forward guidance when they don't actually know what Trump's going to do. And none of us do, because that's what he doesn't want you to know. Honestly.
There's that.
Yeah, because he likes to build up bargaining chips. And a lot of that is done through threats of tariffs and things like that. And I would guess that many of these things never come to fruition because he's just using it to get something else that he wants.
Yeah, negotiating tool.
Yep, exactly. So I think that has a lot to do with why you're seeing the negative revisions or forward guidance, I mean.
I have to believe you're exactly right.
All right. Well, let's talk about a millionaire.
This
is a segment that I've done off. I do it this is my 25th one. So I do it once a month for the past few years. And I haven't done one in quite a while. But it's really about someone who realized the American dream. They started off with either modest or even poor beginnings, and with some luck and a great idea and mostly an incredible work ethic and smart and making good decisions, they became millionaires and in some cases billionaires. But this is a good one. I really liked doing this one. It's not a name that everyone has heard, but once I say it, you may know who it is. So this millionaire was born in 1954 in Lake City, South Carolina, on a farm that produced cotton, soybeans, and tobacco. Her parents worked as a school teacher and a church employee to make ends meet in addition to farming. She managed to graduate from Lake City High School and then got a BA in political science from the University of South Carolina. She then struck off to Washington to make a career in politics, but quickly realized that that was not the path that she wanted to go in life, and she switched course. She instead enrolled in the MBA program at George Washington University and joined a training program at Chemical Bank. She moved up quickly through the ranks, serving as vice chair, and then eventually she was the bank's managing director. During the 1980s, this millionaire made a name for herself by providing financing for companies going through bankruptcy. She quickly earned the reputation as the no-nonsense, tough banker with a Southern drawl. She said she was routinely underestimated, which she leveraged to her own advantage many times. She said that being a blonde Southern female quickly turned from a handicap to being her best asset. She famously removed T. Boone Pickens and Rick Scott from their companies at different points. That's some power.
That it is.
Her career landed in the title of the toughest babe in business, which she was highlighted in Forbes for. After building her reputation, she married an investor named Richard Rainwater, who had made her president of Rainwater Inc. While she married to the owner, she no doubt had the credentials to take on that job. In fact, Richard's net worth tripled when he married her. In 1997, an article in CNN Money called her a cross between the Terminator and Kim Basinger with a Southern drawl. Because of her success, she became one of the first two women in history admitted to Augusta National in 2012. She is quoted as saying, "It is pretty amazing that she is now the answer to a trivia question."
It's not Condi Rice.
It is not. It is the other one. Due to her success, she has been extremely generous with various charitable donations and has now made it a full-time job to give away her money. Her largest donations were to her alma mater, the University of South Carolina, where the business school is actually named after her. She made at least two gifts, one for $25 million and one for $45 million that I could find. She also gave $10 million to Clemson University's education program, along with many other smaller gifts. From her roots on a tobacco farm in rural South Carolina to the first woman admitted to Augusta National with her name on the side of a business school, Darla Moore is a small-town girl who made good. It goes to show you that while she could have played the victim card, she turned those perceived negatives into strengths and parlayed that into becoming a billionaire. Pretty cool.
Not bad.
Yeah, no doubt.
A blonde Southern
woman. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can approach life. One is to find reasons that things can't happen, and the other one is what she did, which was to make things happen for herself.
There are a lot of people who like to leverage what people think of them. You know, we've been coming down here since, well, you were 17, 18 months old, something like that. We've been visiting Florida from where we were all born and raised in Wisconsin. And one of the first things that we learned spending time in the South is that you can go ahead and you can take a Southern accent for stupidity at your own risk.
For sure. In fact, my former roommate from grad school is the best example that I can think of. He has the deepest Southern accent and actually from college as well. Both have very strong Southern accents. And honestly, two of the more successful guys that I know. And yeah. But if you met them and you're from New York and you'd never heard that kind of thing, you might not think that they were, you know, really up to doing what they do. So,
you know, it's funny about those people, the ones that do have the accent and the success, they don't broadcast that.
No,
they don't want
not.
You to know that you are looking at things incorrectly. That doesn't work. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. Nice show as always, gentlemen. And I don't want to beat around the bush. I'm just going to take a quick shot at your trivia question.
Good
morning.
For you. What do you think?
All right. I'm feeling Henry Aaron this morning, so I'm going to go with number 44, 44%.
That's a real nice round number that's too low.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
I knew it'd be at least around 50%. I can't believe that it's all above that, above 44%, obviously.
Everybody out there who's listening, you just did them a big favor because you've really got the bracket back there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, and initially you think, oh, it's got to be like 18 or something like that. And I said, no, this is going to be a lot higher.
I would subtract one from the other and come up with a number, and you were higher than that number, and you're low. So it was a strange day, and there's a moral to the story, which, of course, if you listen right up to the top of the hour, you will all hear.
So okay.
We appreciate
Sounds
it.
Great.
Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks,
it's beautiful
guys.
Out there.
Great show. You too, again. Thank you.
Thank you. And speaking of beautiful out there, it really is, isn't it? Cloudless and beautiful and perfect.
It really is a nice day.
This is what a difference a week makes. My goodness. Anyway, you done with that and want to move on?
Yeah, let's.
I got some things. I mentioned inflation. The last month of the Biden administration, the Bidenflation, as we've all been calling it, showed a little bit of a jump in the PCE, which is the inflation indicator that the Fed prefers. And that, of course, Adam mentioned that there was a kind of an unnoticed Fed meeting this week, and it was kind of unnoticed because they didn't do anything.
Well, going into the meeting, it was the highest odds of nothing happening that I've ever seen in the history of the Fed. There was a 99.5% chance that they would not cut or raise rates,
and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever seen the market price in that certain of an outcome.
Neither. And quite frankly, I think they were exactly right. A worse Fed chairman, and there have been those, believe me, might have thought about jumping up rates or saying they were going to, but they understand what's happening. Rents are starting to come down. There hasn't been the big move in energy just yet.
Rents are actually coming down in Jacksonville. I just pulled up an article from the Business Journal that said that Jacksonville median asking rents drop, and they're down nearly 7% last year. So that we've been talking about that and saying that we thought that might happen because they had really gotten out of control during COVID. But it takes so long for that to cycle through because all these leases are a year or more. And so now we're finally seeing that come to fruition 4 years after COVID, 5 years after COVID, whatever you want to call it.
And of course, you're looking at an area here that's in high demand. Florida's still in very strong demand. So if that's happening here, spread that out throughout the country. And, you know, this definitely has to change, and it will over the next few months. I think they're doing exactly the right thing with the leaving it alone. In fact, we've been arguing for a long time, not arguing so much as just discussing in the office with clients and so on, that these interest rates are really conducive to an awful lot of people. They're not horrible for people with money borrowed. They could be a lot better, of course. But for anybody who is a saver and is trying to take care of the retirement funds with some kind of dignity and class and safety and all that, Schwab paid us its money market mutual fund interest yesterday, and the money's coming in very nicely.
Yeah, definitely.
For people who don't, I'll go into that a little bit more on how it got there, but we first need to take our last break of the day, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I remind everyone again that the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the question remains, on Monday when the S&P 500 index was down more than 1%, what percentage of stocks in that index were actually up? And we know it's over 44, thanks to Ron. Okay, a moment of dumbness, which I like to insert into things every once in a while. Illinois Democrats are now going to allow illegal aliens living there to change their names in order to evade ICE. Mr. Homan will look at that headline, and he will not sit still, I promise you. It's not in his blood to just let it happen. He's a breath of fresh air just when we needed it, isn't it? Let's see. The party of McKinley is back. What do we mean by that? Well, McKinley was a tariff guy, and he was one that used it right. If you really want to talk about tariffs, you kind of got to go back to the reason everybody's got these misconceptions. The Smoot-Hawley Act was done for the wrong reasons. There was no income tax back then, for one thing. They just arbitrarily said, this is how we're going to fund the government. We're going to have a flat tariff across every single thing that we do. Well, that disregarded things that some countries do better than others and so on. And it was not, in practice, a good idea. That doesn't mean tariffs have not been a good idea. They have. If you remember, George Bush tariffed the Japanese steel that was causing people like U.S. Steel so much grief because they weren't able to make any money because of the steel dumping. And the same thing goes for China. Throughout our history, tariffs have been applied and taken away for various and sundry countries for various and sundry reasons. What Trump is doing right now with the tariffs that started this morning, he's telling Canada and Mexico, why don't you read the news and look what happened in Colombia? I put a 25% on Colombia because they turned our planes back and wouldn't take their own people back. So they came back home. I put a 25% tariff on. And 6 hours later, the president of Colombia sent his own plane to get him. His excuse was he didn't like the way we had him handcuffed in our planes. Uh-huh. Exactly right. Oh, and by the way, that 25% would have doubled Monday morning to 50%. But it didn't have to because it was lifted. Well, you probably all remember back to the first Trump administration where the North American trade treaties with Mexico and Canada were redone into the USMCA Act because the prior one, NAFTA, was really drafted in a poor manner if you're us. It benefited Canada, it benefited Mexico, and we were winding up with tremendous trade deficits, especially to Canada. Trump doesn't like that. So he made a suggestion to Canada that perhaps there's a better way. And lo and behold, himself, the beauty queen, was in Mar-a-Lago the next day talking it up. But he was talking. I don't think he was really listening. And then there's Mexico, and he's irritated at Mexico primarily because of the border, and especially insofar as it's the drugs coming across the border. And since the newly elected socialist who replaced the previously elected socialist in Mexico doesn't want to listen to him, she's apparently very hard-headed, so he just aroused her attention this morning, too. So now I look this week for some activity between Canada and Mexico that involves tariffs, because these are not about financial things so much as they're about behavioral things. And that's what Trump has been saying right along, that the tariffs are used to alter behavior in a manner that suits you better. Well, that was the McKinley theory, and McKinley was a pretty powerful guy. In fact, he's now got his old mountain back. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, you heard all the immediate grumbling in the media. Tariffs are horrible. And I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about Republicans when he first brought this up, being, oh, my God, no. Well, as these things have developed, people watch the news, and the workout doesn't take all that long to get things in order. A funny thing happened. Up 11 points. The support for higher tariffs is up 11 points from last year, which wasn't very long ago. And overall, Republicans, 54%, they think tariffs should be raised in the most recent poll. 54%, they should be raised.
That's interesting.
Americans, especially American conservatives, have taken an entirely different stance against tariffs now that they see what's going on. Now, take that one step further. People are talking about Trump wanting to put a universal tariff out there and eliminate income tax. That is not going to happen, period. And there's a simple reason. A constitutional amendment would be required to eliminate income tax. And they take years. Trump doesn't have years to do it. Nobody wants to do it. If you really want to see how it should be done, you would take a look on Amazon or wherever and find a little book called The Fair Tax Book by Lindner and Bortz, who wrote it in the 90s and had done all the research on it. It is a consumption tax rather than a tariff. And in the consumption tax, paying taxes is optional. You can buy something new and pay it, or you can buy something old and not pay it. Costs you the same either way because the fair tax is embedded. It is terribly misunderstood, really easy to demagogue, and totally simple once you read the book.
Yeah, it's actually a brilliant book, but I have a hard time ever picturing it happening.
No, I agree, and it's not that there aren't good people out there trying, and there's more support in Congress now than there used to be. But people like my mother back then, who thought it was the craziest thing she'd ever heard, I sent her the book, she read it, and she was on board by the last page.
I mean, just think about getting rid of income taxes, and you get your full paycheck. That alone should be enough to at least get you to read the book.
Income tax, Social Security tax, estate tax, excise taxes, all of that gone overnight.
Yep.
And they explained very well in the research that went into it in the late 70s and how it works and why it works and all that stuff. Now, that one could only be passed. It would be a constitutional amendment, most likely, but it won't go into effect until the 16th Amendment was repealed. That's how they handled it. So whatever they're coming up with now, whenever they say they got to try to get rid of the income tax, know that it's going to involve repealing the 16th Amendment, which, by the way, I'll sign right now. And most of you would, too, I think.
And you just think about the ramifications of that beyond the obvious ones. Things like the IRS, doing your taxes, it's the only system in the U.S. where you are guilty until proven innocent because you are expected to know thousands and thousands of rules, and then the burden is on you to produce your tax return, which they then just judge and say this is correct or not correct. But in reality, it just makes no sense. It's like they can come back after 2 years and say, no, this was wrong. You owe us $20,000. And it's the most unfair system that the U.S. has currently, in my opinion.
It is. There's nothing that instills fear in the hearts of Americans any faster than opening up your mailbox and seeing an envelope in there
and
with
your
IRS logo on it.
And if you're a business owner, you get a lot of things from the IRS just randomly throughout the year. And yet every time I get one, really gotten the bad one, but it just makes my heart beat faster when I see it.
Yeah, and I tell this a lot, too. I've been talking about it on air for many, many years. I've had a lot of dealings with the IRS over time, mostly smallish things, and I really have never had a problem.
Yeah.
I've found them responsive and pleasant and so on.
It can be frustrating because you have to use the mail and go back and forth like that, and it's slow, but in general, they do an okay job of clearing things up, but it's still, why are you live your life in fear of a government organization? It's just ridiculous.
And now let's talk about the high side of that one. Remember Biden's new IRS agents?
Aren't they Border Patrol agents?
They are now Border Patrol agents. So instead of instilling fear in the hearts of Americans in their mailboxes, how about we instill some fear in the hearts of people crossing over the border illegally? Now you're talking.
Much better idea.
Yeah, every day there's something out there. If you look around a little bit, it'll make you smile coming out of D.C. It's great. All right, last Monday, the S&P 500 index was down over 1%, and yet two-thirds of stocks in the index were up for the day.
And that makes sense because NVIDIA.
See, you got the point.
It's a market cap weighted index, and NVIDIA has one of the largest market caps, and it was down big. So it was dragging down the indexes when, in reality, it wasn't that bad of a day underneath the surface.
NVIDIA lost market cap on Monday. $600 billion.
The biggest ever for one stock in one day.
Yeah, $600 billion. And then it went down a little bit more. And now it'll be coming right back up. And I'll report on that next week and let you know. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, same time. This is the Benway Financial.